Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation.
4. The Coherency of Scripture. There can be no systematic theology if the God of Scripture is not a coherent unity, and if his word is not a coherent whole. An incoherent God who has elements of unrealized potentiality in himself and who cannot speak a necessarily infallible word is incapable of being either the foundation of any systematic theology or of being God. Thus, those who find in Scripture only flashes of insight and a sometimes incoherent movement toward realization see no God at all. They are simply mining a vast deposit of earth in the hopes of finding a few nuggets of gold in all that void. Systematics requires that we recognize the necessary connection between all aspects of Scripture and all forms of biblical doctrine, because there is a unity in the Godhead which makes for a unity of meaning. We must thus see that there is a necessary unity between predestination, circumcision, and baptism. Predestination is the doctrine of the sovereignty of God in relation to all his works. All things were made by him in terms of his sovereign purpose and counsel, and the totality of his work was determined from all eternity by no other consideration than his own sovereign will. Hence, quote, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world," end quote, Acts 15:18. According to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, quote, Question 7. What are the decrees of God? Answer. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby, for his own glory, he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Ephesians 1:11, Acts 4:27-28, Psalm 33:11, Ephesians 2:10, Romans 9:22-23, 11:33, end quote. Circumcision was the covenant sign of membership. All males were circumcised as infants on the eighth day, Genesis 17:9-14. To refuse to circumcise meant a departure from the covenant. Why the circumcision of babes? If children could not understand what the covenant meant on the eighth day of their lives, how could they when they be covenant members? Circumcision witnesses to the sovereignty of God's electing grace. To baptize or to circumcise a child of 8 days means simply that it is not the child's choice, not an act of faith nor personal decision that makes for salvation. It is not the act of circumcision or baptism which saves a child, but, rather, the act is a witness to our faith that salvation is not an act of man, but of sovereign grace. The secondary factors, man's duty to rear his children, end quote, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, are very real. They cannot be neglected. But the early age of circumcision and then of baptism witnesses to the sovereignty of grace. To hold that infant baptism is not the coherent principle of doctrine in terms of predestination and circumcision is to undercut sovereign grace and to deny the validity of systematics. Similarly, the common failure to relate infant baptism to predestination is again an evidence of a lack of systematic theology. Infant baptism is commonly practiced for traditional and ecclesiastical reasons. All kinds of far-fetched attempts at justifying it doctrinally are advanced, some of which seriously undercut God's sovereignty and give power and determination to the church and its sacrament instead. Bitter reactions against such perversions are understandable and to a degree healthy, but we cannot therefore undercut the sovereignty of grace in salvation. The sovereign God does not require the age of discretion or understanding to save a man. Infants and idiots can be, and often are, by sovereign grace, made a new creation. The marks of grace are not the marks of man's understanding, but rather the handiwork of the sovereign and gracious God. While the learned and the mighty planned the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the children in the temple cried out, quote, "Hosanna to the Son of David! end quote. Matthew 21:15-16. If, as we are told, quote, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham, end quote, Matthew 3:9, it is clear that the regeneration of babes is no problem to him. No doctrine of Scripture exists in a vacuum, or in isolation from any other doctrine. The unity of doctrine rests on the unity of the Godhead. Systematic theology is the affirmation and declaration of that unity. Without systematics, and by denying systematics, to cite an extreme example, some Hindu thinkers have used Christ and the Gospels as aspects of Hinduism. By denying the sovereign God of Scripture and his infallible word, they have been able to abstract Christ and the Gospels from their context and to place them in an alien one. In the process, of course, Jesus Christ ceases to be himself, and the Gospels become alien documents. By denying in full the systematics of Scripture, such Hindus are reducing Christ to a datum in their world, as one fact among many. A Christianity without a systematic theology differs from these Hindu constructs only in degree, not in kind.
Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathanConkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.